With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, our artist edition. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm very excited to dive into our conversation today. I have Paul Kanin with me, and Paul is the founder of Take It From the Top, a performing arts program which connects young artists with professional Broadway mentors. His Broadway credits include Kinky Boots, where he was dance captain and original Angel, Miss Saigon, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Le Cage des Folles, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and Legally Blonde. He also appeared as a judge on the MTV reality show Legally Blonde, The Search for Elle Woods. It is my pleasure to welcome Paul to our show today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm just real excited to dive in here. So before we sort of get into some of the big highlights, why don't you take us back? Let's go on a little journey and fill in some of the gaps of this bio and just kind of let everybody get to know you a little bit better and how you got started in this.
I mean, I was just I was a musical theater kid. I loved Gene Kelly and I loved musicals, and I just wanted to find a way to be on stage if I could. My mom was kind of a performer growing up. She was a dancer. My dad was like a designer. So they both were kind of artistically like minded. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was just a hyperactive kid. So my mom threw me into gymnastics because I kept like knocking myself out in the backyard by trying to teach myself how to do flips. Like, why don't you go where they teach you how to do it so you don't kill yourself? So I took gymnastics for a long time, and then a local show needed a boy like they always do to be in a Bye Bye Birdie production when I was like in the fourth grade, and they needed me to do flips. And I was like, I'll do flips. And what is all this? What's going on? And I just fell in love with the storytelling that happens on stage. And I was Harvey Johnson, this like weird character that like got a laugh. And I heard in this dark room, an audience like laughing at something I did. It was like, whoa, is that, I think I just made all these people happy. What's happening? So I just got the bug, and I did all through high school. I did every choir I could. I choreographed for my show choir. I did all the musicals. And then by the time I got to college, that was what I was going to major in. So I decided to major in musical theater. And I actually grew up in San Francisco. My parents would take me to see shows, like professional touring company shows. Mm-hmm. And I would see what was going up on that stage and was just like, how do I do that? Do they get paid? What happens? I'm obsessed. I feel like I'm going to explode. It just hit all my little happy bones and creative bones. And I just knew that was kind of my path. So I auditioned. So the road to Broadway was actually kind of a fluke, and it was fast and weird. I went to school at Brigham Young University in Utah.
Okay.
That's the side random note that I grew up Mormon. I went on a mission, which is funny because a lot of the guys that I went to BYU with were in the Book of Mormon, the Broadway show, and we all laugh about it.
Like, yeah.
This is about us growing up. But in school, they had auditions in Salt Lake City downtown my last year in school for Miss Saigon. And I went to the audition with a couple friends thinking nothing of it. I'm like, I'll just do this for the experience, see what happens. And they called me 2 weeks later and were like, can you be on Broadway in Miss Saigon? I was like, come again? Confuse me? What happens? So I was on a plane and finding an apartment and finding where the theater was. And I just was really, really green and had no idea about it. And I learned as we went, and I went into the show and was terrified. It was not working from a happy place. It was working from a place of fear. But then I got to connect on like a professional level with like what mm-hmm. I've grown up loving so much, which was a little bit different, but I came around to many different experiences of original cast of Legally Blonde and Kinky Boots and becoming an associate and all that, like all that being a part of the creation of these shows and stuff was so fulfilling and made me so happy and led to all the other stuff I'm doing now, which is kind of on the other side of the table. I don't have to be on stage necessarily to feel like I'm living out my passion.
That's awesome. We'll transition into that in just a moment. So I can imagine that was terrifying. And so then how long did it really, or did it set in that like, I'm on Broadway, and for that fear to sort of dissipate a bit and really just sort of enjoy the moment that you were in?
I mean, it's interesting. Broadway shows are, I mean, not, they're kind of a business, and that show had been running for 10 years. So those actors have been in that show eight shows a week for 10 years. Many of them, four of them were original cast. They'd been there for actually 10 years.
Wow.
And when you join something like that, it's like jumping on a moving train because I didn't know the show. I didn't know how anything worked backstage. I didn't even know what like a headshot was. The headshot in the Broadway playbill is a picture of me that my mom took on like the stairs of our church with her camera. It wasn't a professional headshot, which is what I actually love. Like, side note about teaching young people about theater, because there was so much I didn't know and so much that I could have used a little bridge to like, can someone break down how this works? Cause I don't know what happens right now, but a few weeks into doing it, because again, when you're in college and high school, you do a show for a weekend, you go out with your friends, you know, you have fun and it's done and you're back mm-hmm. to school, you're back to your life. This was every day, every night, the same show, the same costumes, seeing the same people. And I think after a couple of weeks, I was like, okay, I'm getting the hang of this. I'm getting the hang of New York. This was also a whole lifestyle change. I hadn't been here hitting the pavement with my headshot and resume going to auditions like so many actors do. I realized how lucky I was, but I also had like a lot of learning to do because I was just young and by myself. I didn't have any friends here.
That had to be challenging. I mean, like, you're right. It's a huge cultural change.
Yeah. The real turning point, I think, was from that show, I went on a tour of Annie Get Your Gun, and there were kids like me that were right out of college, and they were young, and we were touring the country, and we were staying in hotels, and they were in the same boat as me, and I felt like I had a camaraderie with people kind of for the first time. So that, and I was on tour for like a year. We went to Detroit. We went to San Francisco. We did all the, you know, fun cities everywhere. And that's when I kind of was like, oh, this business is really fun.
Aw, that's great. So how many years were you doing that before you really started doing what you're doing today?
I mean, I did Broadway shows for 15 years. I did eight shows a week for about 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I did in between, I'd do like Radio City and I did the Christmas Spectacular and I'd go do some regional jobs, which I loved so much. But like Thoroughly Modern Millie, I was in for 2 years. Legally Blonde was 3 years. Kinky Boots was a little over 3 years. So you add it all up, it was a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so incredibly grateful that because it's all I wanted to do. And I was doing what I was going to do. And I never had to be the star of the show. I was happy being in the ensemble of a Broadway show and getting a paycheck and just paying my rent and being able to go out with friends, like, I was fulfilled and happy. I wasn't really putting demands on my life and my career during that time. I am now. Now is a different time.
Right.
Now I want the world.
So how has the career sort of affected your lifestyle today?
Like performing, my performing career?
Yeah, or like what you're doing today. Like, what's that lifestyle look like? So that was intense. It's eight shows a week in New York City. It's pretty fast paced. And now it's much different. So how is that? How is your life sort of settled into what you're doing today? And what's that look like?
I mean, I think as a professional dancer for so long, I think I kept healthy habits just in, because mm-hmm. When you're your business in a physical way, you just kind of have to stay healthy. So I think I've kept that as a part of my daily regimen.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned so much. I've kind of gone back to school in a way that I've had to learn so much about business. I run a for-profit licensing company and I run a nonprofit education company. And between the two, I've had to learn what spreadsheets are and what, like, I never went to business school. I was a dancer my whole life. So I had to learn the hard, like, finance and stuff. And I had to just take stuff from square one and
mm-hmm.
stop pretending I knew everything and just start asking all the questions about everything, which in the pandemic was a level higher of that because everything changed and we all had to figure out how we fit into this kind of new world and what we can contribute and, you know, where we can be happy and successful and make money to survive. Like, it all kind of comes together. Mm-hmm. I just feel lucky I've been able to stay in the same path, the same kind of passion path that I've always been in. I don't feel the need to be on stage, but I still get to support. I get to create theatrical opportunities for a lot of different people around the world.
That's great. So tell us more about Take It From the Top.
So Take It From the Top started about 13 or 14 years ago. And we actually started at the Wharton Center when I was in Legally Blonde, the original Elle Woods, Laura Bell Bundy, who's a brilliant, creative kind of unicorn muse of mine. She's just one of those people that you can just bounce any idea off of and she'll have 10 interesting little paths for your idea. But she did a show at the Wharton Center. I came with her, like, sang backup. And then I said, what if we get the local schools, like, there must be an education department at the theater, let's get local schools to come learn about this show we're doing. And they just filmed it all on MTV, so people kind of knew who we were, or mm-hmm. if they watched the show. So we had like 150 kids that came to the Wharton Center, and I'm like, we're gonna split them up. Some are gonna dance, some are gonna sing with you, some are gonna do an acting class, and we're gonna rotate them, and we're just gonna give these kids a musical theater experience and music and dance and theater. And we'll do a big Q&A at the end and we'll see how it goes. And it was really successful. And the president, Mike Brand of the Wharton Center, called us on our way back. We came up with this plan. We're like, we should go back and do a bigger thing. And he was like, you guys killed it. The kids loved it. We don't have a lot of stuff like this. Let's build something together that can be valuable for kids in this area, for young artists to just kind of explore everything. So the next time we came back, it was like a week. I said, let's do a full week. Let's settle into a bunch of theater. Let's do a bunch of numbers. Let's see what the kids want to learn. Let's take what they're already learning and, like, try to add to that. Because everything I do, I never want to take away from any educational opportunity that's already in place for students. I really just want to add to, this is our experience. This is my experience. This is my teaching artist experience. Take that. Throw it into your bag of tricks, keep moving through this massive world of opportunity and learning. I'm not trying to start a church by any means.
Wow, that's great. And so then it just continued from there.
Yeah, so we grew in Michigan. They sent us to Grand Rapids. They sent us up to Traverse City. So we kind of had a 3-week program going on. And in that time, Laura Bell and I just kind of called other performing arts centers, and we kind of booked ourselves in California, in a bunch of places. So now we're in Orlando at the Dr. Phillips Center. We're in Nantucket. We're at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, Illinois, and we're in Michigan. And then we do a few New York kind of fundraising and like weekend workshops and stuff in New York.
Great. Now, what kids usually come out for this? Like, what's the criteria as far as, or do you have one, or how did kids find out about it?
I mean, the one in Michigan is probably the best, like, advertised and pushed out, but it's usually 10 to like 19 year olds. We started a new program 2 years ago, Creative Kids, that's 7 to 9 year olds. And it's kind of specialized in their material and stuff, but it's really for everyone. We have a program. Our intensive week is just come have fun. Let's learn a bunch of like a variety of styles and musical theater and influencers through time, and just learn about this art form and get you up on stage and take risks. If you haven't sung in front of a group, let's give it a try. Because I also, it's not about being on Broadway or even doing theater sometimes. It's just about building confidence. And kids need to hear more applause for the things they do. And when an audience stands up for them, a lot of these kids don't get that in their day-to-day. And a lot of these kids don't have theater programs where they live. We have kids that drive 2-3 hours from their little towns where they don't have, you know, a high school theater program because it was cut or they just never had one, and they come to our program, which is great.
Absolutely.
And then our second week used to be called the Advanced Workshop, but now it's called Company, and it's a little more professional development. We have casting directors and directors talk to them, and we do like a reading of a full show, but it's really turned into performing a full show, which is crazy because it's 1 week and we do a younger from 10 to 13 year olds. They do a full show. And then the older, like 14 to 19, do a full show. And this summer we're doing Legally Blonde for one, which is hilarious. And I'm directing it. I usually don't direct the shows, but I was like, I'm going to do Legally Blonde with them. I know it inside and out. And then the younger kids are doing Disney's Descendants, which is fun because they get close. I bring them a little bit closer to it than they would have. Like the original director of Legally Blonde, Laura Bell, who was the original Elle, the writers, the composers, and the lyricists of the show, they're all going to talk with the kids via Zoom and how they wrote it, how they collaborate, how it came about. So that's kind of a cool experience that you don't really get everywhere.
Right. So are you going to be doing the camp in person?
We're not.
You're not.
This is when we did it virtual last year and we're doing virtual again this year, which is not ideal, but there's a lot of kids from outside of Michigan that have joined our program that get to do it that otherwise wouldn't be able to. We did a year from October to April, we did a virtual program through the Wharton Center. We had kids from 11 different states that joined the program. So it's kind of a visibility thing for a great performing arts center like the Wharton. And it's an opportunity for these kids to connect to all these artists. We had 25 like really cool Broadway professional artists talk to these kids, work with them, coach them, which is unique. I'm not bringing 25 people out to Michigan every year, but there's a lot of benefits from all the virtual stuff we're doing. And at the end of that, the kids submit self-tapes for an actual casting director. He was the casting director of The Greatest Showman, the movie, and Waitress on Broadway, and a bunch of stuff. And he talked to them and got to know them. And then he's watching all their self-tapes and giving feedback, which is huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about one of your most favorite performances.
I would have to go with Kinky Boots for like Broadway shows experiences, just because the themes and what that show's about is so moving for the audience and it catches them off guard. And I just love to see people's minds being changed a little bit. And it's a big love fest at the end. And that opening night of that show was just so tearful and beautiful. And because I don't know if you know Kinky Boots, but it's this.
I have seen it.
I mean, it's all these people who are different from each other. And it's these factory workers that are, you know, simple, hardworking people. And then these drag queens that come in and are fabulous and artistic and crazy. And these people all have to come together and build something together. And I just think those themes are so important for today's society and for people to be reminded, like, oh, not everyone's like you. We can all get along actually with our different views and find common ground and do cool stuff together. That was the Oprah version of my Kinky Boots performance experience. But
I love that though. That was great for anyone who's listening that has no idea about the show. That's going to be great for them.
And you can watch it on Broadway Plus, or is it called? No, Broadway HD. It's like a platform that's like a subscription thing. They have the West End version is filmed. It's filmed really well. I hadn't seen it, and I saw it for the first time like a couple months ago. But it's great. It's a great kind of capture of the show if you can't get to the theater, which most of you probably can't right now.
Let's talk just for a minute about the MTV show Search for Elle Woods. Tell me a little bit about that. And I have to do full disclosure. My daughter said, you have to ask him about that. I've watched that so many times.
I mean, it was a really weird time to be a performer and to be me, because I wasn't a dance captain. I wasn't a creator. I just was in the cast of Legally Blonde, and they kind of, the head of MTV did all these videos of everybody. And I kind of made a joke of it. I went into Laura Bell's dressing room and put on her wig and was like, oh, we're doing the interview right now. And I kind of like was funny about it. And then I answered all the questions and feedback from the producers. They're like, you're going to die. They want you to be a judge on the TV show. I was like, what? What does that mean? And it was just crazy because we would film from 8 in the morning till like 6 at night, and I'd run to the theater and do the show, and we'd jump rope in the show, and I'd be doing flips and running around, and then I'd wake up the next morning and go to the set and talk to these girls. And it was a blast. It was so much fun. I knew I had worked with two of the girls before in Lacage and in the tour that I was on, the Annie Get Your Gun tour, Selena and Emma Zacks. But it was a blast. I'd never been on TV like that before. And there was a moment where they were like, you need to be Simon Cowell. You need to be mean. I was like, no, no, no. I will say this. I'm just going to be myself no matter what. I'm not going to pretend to be somebody on this show. No, 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 no.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But it was fun. And it was kind of interesting for the Broadway community because they saw something different in the way we kind of brand shows and get them out there. So many people knew what Legally Blonde was because of these shows that they'd seen on TV. Mm-hmm. So it was a good way to brand the show. The tour did very well of Legally Blonde, I think, because of these shows.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But it was a blast. I'm very grateful that I got to be a part of it. And it kind of had a little resurgence in the pandemic. We were asked to, all the original girls and judges were asked to do this like YouTube reunion thing. And there's a lot of young people that weren't alive when we filmed it, because we filmed it 13 years ago.
And oh, wow.
Newly kind of watching. Yeah, we filmed it in 2008.
Yeah, a lot of things have sort of had a resurgence because of COVID. More people just watching things and finding things. And that's been a kind of a big deal too. People that, you know, I never sat really and even really watched a whole, I was not a binge watcher of Netflix or doing anything like that. I just don't have the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, I guess I have a little bit of time. So what's good out there? And then people recommending things and people finding things. It's just been interesting time.
Yeah. All the stuff you never thought you'd have time to do, you're finding time to do.
That is for sure. So we talked a little bit about navigating from sort of the creative side to business in doing the two businesses that you have now. But how was it navigating the artistic side to the business side? Like when you were so young, I mean, here you are, you're just in college and then you go get your first audition and then there you are a week later in your Broadway. And what was that like navigating the business side of being a performer?
Well, it wasn't really an issue until I didn't have a job. When I had a job, I would learn what happens. You get paid every Friday and this and this and this. A lot of it was learning. A lot of that, though, was learning how to live in New York. I never lived in New York, and I had to find an apartment and I had to figure out the subways and how do I live? How much should I pay on rent? Like all the stuff that I just was kind of thrown into very young. I didn't have any friends here. It's so funny because now these colleges do these showcases and they're all these kids are so connected and they know what headshots and resumes and they go on YouTube and look at all the latest and greatest stuff that's out there. And they're just so much better informed. And I just had no clue. My opening night on Broadway, I stood on a subway platform with flowers that my mom sent me, and that was it. And I just waited to go home, and I went home to my roommates and was like, well, I did a thing, going to bed. But now, no, it's when you don't have a job, it's the pounding the pavement, it's the going to auditions, it's selling yourself to these casting people and like, what's my next show going to be? Because as performers, we're just kind of gypsies out there trying to just fit in and be whoever they want us to be. And that part was, by the time I was actually in the audition world, my best friend from college had moved out to New York and we were kind of doing it together, running to auditions and going to lunch and meeting friends and stuff. So I kind of had a partner in crime to do all this with, which made it a lot easier.
Oh, for sure.
And that whole thing is the same thing I'm doing now with businesses that I'm the president of and that I run and stuff. I'm still kind of selling myself and what we do and how we do it and our practices and all that. Like if I have a new meeting with a new person that doesn't know anything about me, I'm auditioning all over again.
Yep.
And you're either going to hire me or not, but I'm kind of going to be in performance mode all the time.
So true. It's funny. I interviewed a lady earlier and she just said, oh, I was never, you know, in sales and kind of spoke about it like it was not necessarily a good thing. And I teach sales. That's one of the things I do. And I said, you know, we're all selling all the time. You're selling something all the time, an idea yourself, get your kids to do what you want them to do. I mean, we are constantly selling. It is the way that you choose to look at it. I mean, and looking at it like I'm just performing, like, okay, I'm get my game face on. I'm going into this audition. That is absolutely what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to make what you're doing look like the best thing that's out there because there's other people doing it. So you are selling yourself all the time.
Absolutely. So one of the things you made a mention of, and someone else on my show made a mention of this a couple weeks ago, and then we took off on another subject and we actually didn't address it. And so you actually mentioned it again, and I do want to bring that up. And that is from, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, even 10 years ago, it is so different for young people today that are in pursuit of this career than it was for you. And just talk about some of those differences and how do young kids navigate that today if this is what they want to pursue?
I mean, there's the goodness in all of it is that there's so much more information available. I always say to people going into this business of performing arts, learn everything you can, not just about what happens on stage, but learn about all the other jobs. What does the set designer do? The costume designer, the lighting, the house manager, the ushers, company managers that pay you. Learn about every angle of this business and then network and meet everybody you possibly can in real life. You can't stay online forever. I think that's an easy thing for young people these days to do, is to have social media profiles and just kind of push out videos and content. And here's me singing. Don't I sound great? But eventually you're going to be in front of people. You have to come mm-hmm. to the city. You have to meet people. If this is, you know, the profession you want to pursue. But it is very different. And I, at the same time, I say there's so much available. Sometimes there's too much available. So mm-hmm. I think you have to be discerning and you have to follow your gut. And if you're going to go into an artistic field, especially, you need to let your heart be the guide and let your passion kind of like dictate your path and not get distracted by money and jobs and all the stuff that goes along with work and the business. You have to stay true to who you are. That was a long, vague answer, but.
No, but that was great advice. I think that's good for young people to listen. And I think there's lots of parents of kids that want to pursue that listen to this as well. And some parents have absolutely no idea how to help their child with that or what advice to give them. I get asked that a lot myself. So yeah. I think it's good for people to just to hear different pieces of advice on what it's like. It feels like, but maybe it really isn't, but it just feels like today it's a lot more competitive than it ever was, but maybe that's not true.
Oh no, it's more competitive because there's a lot, because of all the movies and shows like Greatest Showman and Glee and High School Musical and stuff, there's a lot of young people that want to do this. They have, and they're seeing all this dancing on TikTok. They're getting up and dancing. They're not, we didn't do that. I didn't do that when I was a kid. I didn't put myself on a computer and put a video of me dancing anywhere. But now that's what's happening. It's second nature for this generation to perform. Everybody's a performer, the same way we're all salesmen. And the thing I would say to parents as well is you don't have to see it as this big, scary city career right off the bat. If a child is interested in getting on stage and performing and kind of expressing themselves in different ways, see where that goes and let them, because it'll only serve them in any career they go into. If they're going to be an orthodontist or a, you know, designer or own companies, they're going to be better for having gotten up on stage and singing a solo and saying lines from a script and moving their bodies and dancing. I just think theater is a great breeding ground for just creating better humans.
And definitely for building confidence. It's mm-hmm. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
It truly is. So our signature question kind of the show, of course, is what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I think it's being passionate about what you do, which is probably what a lot of people say. But I think more than that, I think if you're doing what you love and what makes you happy, you're going to have days where you don't always love it. And those are days you kind of have to bring your conscious, like make a conscious choice to show up for what you do and the people that it serves. And just remind yourself that there's other people that what you're doing makes happy. It's not just you being happy. It's actually making the people around you happy because you're doing what you love.
Great. So any new and exciting things or anything that you would like our listeners to know what you're doing? And then of course, how can people follow you?
Yeah. Our Take From the Top camp is July 19th to the 31st at the Wharton. You can go to the whartoncenter.org .com to find out about how to register. All of that. I will be there welcoming everyone. I will be there every day. Then we're up in Traverse City August 14th, I think, 14th on for a week. And that's live. And we're in person there. And you can also find me on my other company, which we'll do on the next podcast, theoriginalproduction.com, is a choreography licensing company that's original Broadway choreography for your school program. But we have a great like month-to-month plan for educators and students to just learn a ton of choreography from a ton of really cool professional choreographers. Original Beauty and the Beast, Original Legally Blonde, Hairspray, that you can just do at home, do at school, do wherever you do theater or dance. It's really fun.
Oh gosh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, we will have to talk more about that.
That's my other, I have Take It From the Top, that's my passion, and then The Original Production, which is my other passion.
Okay. And so then how do people find out about that, or how does that work exactly? Do you work directly with the schools? Are you actually, like you said, people can actually learn from those things too. So how does that work?
We do. I mean, we're set up to partner with the licensing company. So if you buy mm-hmm. the script and the score of Legally Blonde, just because we're talking about Legally Blonde a bunch, from MTI, which is the licensing company that sells it, you'll buy all the choreography of Jerry Mitchell, who is the original choreographer teaching you those steps through MTI's site.
Okay.
But we also, during the pandemic, we kind of got permission and started a new thing where I was like, we're a streaming service. Like, they're videos. People can do them at home. Why would we just keep them? Let's figure out a way to get to educators and creators and students and stuff to learn from the content we created. So we started this subscription thing called Top of the Class, where you can learn a ton of varieties of styles and movement from all of our choreographers. And you don't have to have a license for a show to do that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So it's called theoriginalproduction.com. And yeah.
Oh, perfect. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful, Paul. Thanks so much for taking time with us and entertaining our listeners and educating them a bit. It's been a fun conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to get back to Michigan and hang out and swim in the lakes and play with everybody and get on stage.
You know what? It's beautiful here. It really is. And you can't beat our summers. They're the absolute best in the whole wide world. They really are.
They really are. I'm as a New Yorker, I'm very jealous of all the Michiganders.
Oh, but in January, we're all just like waiting for summer. It's like, it's painful.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much. And to all of our listeners out there, thanks so much for joining us. If you had a great time with us, make sure that you subscribe or follow so that you don't miss a single great episode. And the best form of compliment that we can receive is share us with a friend. Let other people know about the fun time you had here at Work From Your Happy Place. See you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.